One of hopefully a lesser best kept secret when it comes to early childhood education and literacy development is an organization we've been talking about on the award-winning For the People pretty much since our guest Susanna Holzenbeck and other interested people got Read to Grow together and launched it as a movement. So we're pleased to bring Susanna and Read to Grow back onto the program this morning. There's lots to talk about, particularly ways to engage you, your neighborhood, your school community, your community group with this organization, whether it is to help support their work or if you know somebody who could take advantage of the work that they do. We'll bring Susanna onto the call as soon as we remind you about something else for young people. Yes, Swim Across America. Fairfield County is celebrating 20 years of making waves to fight cancer in 2026. And in honor of such a momentous occasion, the organization is having a special 20th anniversary commemorative t-shirt designed. But they need the community's help with what a fun makes waves t-shirt design contest for area middle and high school students. Submissions will be accepted now through March 15th with a panel of judges selecting the final design and second and third place winners. You'll all get exposure and prizes. And if you want to know more, you can find out the full rules and submission details at swimacrossamerica.org/t-shirt. All right, Susanna, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to speak.
So you and our program and team here are both very, very strong proponents of literacy and childhood education, especially early childhood education. In the case of Read to Grow, the earliest, perhaps, of
That's
childhood
right.
education opportunities. So let's talk a little bit for folks who may not be familiar with your organization, whether they may be those who could lend their energy or donations to help, or for people who may want to take advantage of the services that you guys provide. What's Read to Grow all about?
Sure. Well, Read to Grow just celebrated its 25th anniversary in 2025. And our mission is to promote literacy and language skills for children and to empower families as their child's first and most important teacher. What does that mean? So Read to Grow's flagship program is our Books for Babies program. So most people who know about Read to Grow, they know about us because they got a book in the hospital. So we partner with hospitals all across Connecticut, and every single baby born in those hospitals gets our book. Currently, it's Welcome to the World by Nancy Wallace. She's a Connecticut author. And actually, as of yesterday, we launched at Greenwich Hospital, and they have about 2,800 babies born there every year. And that is our second to last hospital. We have one more hospital to partner with, and then we will be in all of the birthing hospitals in Connecticut. So that's 35,000 newborns receiving our books every, you know, throughout Connecticut. We also have a number of other programs. We actually start prenatally now. So we partner with community health clinics all around Connecticut. And so families who are expecting children, pregnant patients get books when they visit their doctors, and then they get them in the hospital. They can opt in to get more books once they get that book in the hospital. And then any family with children in Connecticut can request books from us on our website. There's if you go to readtogrow.org, you'll see a green button on the top that says Get Books. Click on that, and you'll see all the ways that you can get books from us. So whether you're a family with children, you can request books from us. We'll mail them to you free of charge. If you are somebody who runs a program that serves children in Connecticut and you'd like books to give out to the children that you serve, you can put in a program request, and we will get you books to give to the children that you work with. And then our most recent resource is our bookmobile. So if you serve children somewhere in Connecticut, whether you're a childcare provider or a teacher, or you run another nonprofit, or you are holding a community event, You can request our bookmobile to come, and we show up with our bookmobile, we open the door, we set up the stairs, and we set out the books, and children get to get on board and pick at least one new book to take home and keep and read again and again with their family.
So how did you or at what point did you guys make the decision that you wanted to go from folks coming to you or you going to meet them where they are in hospitals and in childcare environments? When did you decide to kind of, you know, bring them out into Mohammed and acquire and begin operating the bookmobile?
That's a great question. You know, we, the bookmobile was a sort of a dream for a long time. I think our team really knew that while we were reaching lots of people, we weren't reaching everybody. And when I started in 2020, I actually started, my first day was in January of 2020. And we all know what happened in March of 2020, COVID hit. And that really made that dream a much more salient option for us because we knew that we still needed to reach people. We needed to have a way of getting around where air could circulate and we could, you know, as you said, bring the mountain to Mohammed. And we were really fortunate at the time. We had a conversation with Centerville Bank and just expressed some of our wishes. And they heard that the bookmobile was something we'd like to do. And they took a chance and invested. And now the bookmobile, we can't keep up with the demand. It's going everywhere, right? We go literally to every single county. We've been growing about by a third. So year over year, the last 3 years, each year we've been giving out about a third more books, making a third more stops. We've actually even been talking about acquiring a second bookmobile to expand the resource because the demand is definitely there.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. And Hamden gets a double dip this coming week as we're going into the weekend, as we announced earlier, Super Bowl Sunday here as this program plays. This coming week at the Hamden Mobile Food Pantry on Circular Avenue at 4:30 p.m., the bookmobile, weather permitting, will roll on up. If you're interested, you can go on out. That is, once again, going to be on the 11th. And then a few days later, on the 21st, back in Hamden, they'll be at the Miller Memorial Library on Dixwell Avenue. And many more stops to come, especially if you guys, you know, get some angel support and are able to launch that second bookmobile.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much for mentioning the Hamden stops. I think those two stops really exemplify the spirit of the bookmobile. So we, you know, we make stops at food pantries all around the state. We make stops at diaper banks. Times are really tough for so many folks and everything is so expensive. And the last thing we want is for a family with young children to have to make a decision about where their money's going. And we want children to have access to, you know, high quality books and literacy experiences. So if we can take some of the burden off and provide a joyful experience for families to get those resources, our job is, you know, that's our job. So we are just thrilled to get out and about. And, you know, again, if you are somebody who operates a food pantry or a diaper bank or other resources for community members, please reach out to us. Again, our website has it all, so you can go on and request the bookmobile. There's a on the get books button. There's also the form to request the bookmobile
at readtogrow.org. That's great. So, you know, probably nearly three decades ago and slightly before Read to Grow came together as a movement, and I was working in the nonprofit world in this sort of kind of brave new concept of early childhood education. You know, one of the big things that we were looking to try to get a handle on as quickly as possible were outcomes of the work we were trying to do. And, you know, you can get some decent data after two or three years of funding a program or holding or hosting a program. 25 years on, Let's talk about outcomes from Read to Grow. I mean, this the ripple effects of this program are probably unfathomable right now, right?
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing up the data. I know I can sound like a little bit like a nerd when I get really into the data, but it's really important. And as you said, you know, we have been collecting data. We collect information about where every book goes. So we know, you know, how many books we give out and to where they're going through what program, what types of organizations are requesting books from us. We have demographic information. And then we also survey families. So families who participate, especially in our Books for Babies program, it's optional. They do not have to fill out the survey to get our services, but a surprising amount of families just fill out the surveys that we give out. And so we do have not just quantitative information, but also qualitative information from families. And so, again, if you go to our website, we now have a whole series of maps that we have created that show where we are in Connecticut, our spread over time. So there's a time-lapse map that you can see. You can also see maps that really detail the need in Connecticut. So you can see a map that shows by district what the kindergarten entrance inventory scores are for specific regions of Connecticut. You can see poverty rates. You can see a bunch of other publicly available data, third grade reading scores, that sort of thing. All of those pieces of data are really important as we do our work and figure out where the need is greatest. But those surveys that I mentioned, so, you know, we get back hundreds of the surveys from families who receive our books in their baby's first year of life. And one of the questions that we ask is, how often are you reading to your baby? And we know that the statewide average, according to 0 to 3, which is they publish a state of babies report for all the states in the United States, and the daily reading rate is about 48% average for families. When families report their daily reading rate, if they've interacted with Read to Grow, at the 3 month mark, it jumps up to about 70% of families saying that they read daily. And then if they're still participating a year into their baby's life, that 12-month mark, sometimes it goes up to even as high as 84% of families saying they read daily. So, you know, this is a really simple intervention. It's a couple of high-quality, awesome books paired with information that's accessible to families. We also provide it in multiple languages. And so when we know that when families receive empowering information about what they can do to support their child, it does change behavior in a positive way.
And as you mentioned earlier on, and that, you know, I was experiencing myself even a few years earlier than my time working in the nonprofit world and supporting early childhood education programs at their beginnings. My own child was on the way. And back then, there was this big movement about interacting with that child long before it was born. And, you know, even if you open up the readtogrow.org website, one of the first lovely images that greets you is a pregnant mother with the book reading to her belly baby.
That's right. That's right. We actually, with our prenatal program, the tagline is "Read to Your Belly." Read to your belly, have other people read to your belly. Babies can start to hear around the 24-week-ish mark. And, you know, that's they get accustomed to your voice. They get accustomed to the routine and the rhythm. And that continues once they're, you know, in the world, once they're born. And it's really an incredible thing because, you know, you were mentioning when you were expecting your first child, you know, the brain science around brain development has really exploded. And so there have been numerous studies now that show the simple act of, you know, holding your child and reading to them and how that impacts the brain development, specifically the white matter, which is the good stuff that you want to grow in your child's brain, the white matter development. You know, they've literally been able to see it on scans when children are read to regularly. And it's, you know, and the benefits go beyond that, right? It's the bonding between a parent or the caregiver and the child. I always like to say, you know, reading to my kids is probably the best part of my day. We're all sitting down, taking a breath. It's just as calming and important for my mental health to be sitting there with my kids and just taking a moment to, you know, turn the pages, laugh at something funny, make my voice, whatever character's voice it is that we're in, whatever book we're reading. There's joy there, there's bonding, and it doesn't take that much time, yeah. Right? I think we're in such a busy, stressful, frantic mode all the time. And even just a few minutes.
Yeah. And please, something about the tactual nature of holding a book with ink, yes, struck into paper versus a screen. I'm sure you're armed with statistics behind the effectiveness of the paper and ink.
That's right. Absolutely. The physical book, you know, I think a lot of people keep saying, like, well, aren't these books going to be replaced by ebooks and e-readers? And that was sort of the fear. But I think what we're finding is that people still prefer books. And, you know, even if you're not really a reader yourself, you can still expose your children to books and that experience of, you know, getting engrossed in a story and, you know, pausing the stressful thoughts that are here for all of us. You get lost in the story, you get to go on an adventure, you get to travel to new places. And, you know, there's a troubling statistic that reading for pleasure has dropped in the United States by 60% since, I think, 2012 or 2014. And a large part of it has to do with smartphones, right? We read a lot on our smartphones, but we don't read for pleasure. We read for information or to just kind of dull our senses and to kind of mask the stress that we are all experiencing. And it's a game changer when you can take a breath and put the phone down and pick up a book and spend a couple minutes. I mean, all these studies show, right, our brainwaves slow down, our heart rate slows down, our blood pressure. It has real implications for our health, not just as individuals, but as a society.
And when the battery goes out or the electricity goes out, you know, the flashlight or the candle and the old paper book could be a best friend. So
that's right.
Time always grows too short when we're talking with you, Susanna, and I really appreciate your time. Susanna Holzenbach is with Read to Grow. And you've heard the outcomes. You've heard the statistics. They cannot put 35,000 plus books into the hands of parents-to-be and young mothers and fathers and children here in Connecticut every year without your support, whether it is monetary or volunteer, or you got a bookmobile lying around in your driveway that you might want to donate. You know, I'm sure they'd love to talk to you. ReadToGrow.org is the website where it all starts. Susanna, once again, thank you so much for your time today. And it's so awesome to hear over these many years that we've been talking with Read to Grow about how you're getting bigger and better and more popular and still helping to sustain the world of ink and paper and all the beautiful things that come from it. So thank you.